The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 2. We did chapter 1 last week and probably took it a little farther than I planned. I talked about it all the way through the end, and it set up what happens this week in Hebrews chapter 2. So if you need to review that, what happened in chapter 1 of Hebrews is the writer is writing to the people, the Hebrews that have been converted to Christianity, that are still living among and worshiping with and going to services with the Jews that have not been converted. So they're dealing with opposition and pressure and all kinds of things that is distracting them from their faith and causing them to be pushed away from what they believe about Jesus. So we're going to be talking about that today. I'll be posting, by the way, that we every week we have people, someone every week says, I couldn't hear the message. Okay, that said you're not loud enough. So can't help it. I'm pretty loud as it is. But if you can't hear, I'm going to post this on the Facebook page, and you'll be able to look at those texts of Scripture then, particularly the accompanying passages that are going to support later on down the line about verses 3 and 4. So to get ready, I want to talk about a fishing trip. Y'all okay talking about fishing? I figured this is Toledo Bend country, and it's okay to talk about fishing. If it's okay to talk about fishing, but it's going to be another lake. It's Lake Amistad in Texas. I talk about that pretty often because I've had three or four traumatic experiences on that lake because of really the largeness of it and the wind on it and the fact it's on the Mexico border. And matter of fact, one time we were fishing on the American side, but we might have possibly gone too far, and we were on the Mexican side, and I looked up, and there was a boat coming, about a 25-foot boat with a gun mounted on the bow, with somebody standing next to it, and we cranked up and moved. It was okay to do that. We got out of that, and they were biting, but we left. One time I was there, and we had to move to another boat ramp further away from the main boat ramp because we wanted to go way up into the lake, up the river. There's an area where there are cliff dwellings or caves in the cliffs where petroglyphs are on the walls there. We wanted to go up in that direction and fish. And the fishing's not as good up there, I don't think, as where we normally fish, but it was good to go up there and see that. But you're traveling through deep canyons with crystal clear blue water, and on one side of your boat is Mexico, and on the other side of this canyon is Texas. So you have to watch what you're doing. It's probably okay to drift back and forth just a little bit, but you can't go too far. We were way down river, and I was with someone in a smaller boat. This was back before cell phones, by the way, and it was common for that boat to have a red tank that you had a little pump on, that you pumped a little bit to get the gas primed, and you started the motor up, and that operated your boat. I believe it was a Skeeter boat with the little sticks that steer it. You kind of get the era of that was. And we were way upriver. We were following a big boat. I believe it was a modern Skeeter boat, and it was quite a bit bigger and had a lot more gas tank potential. So way off downriver, or upriver, we were drifting along, following the other boat. It got left behind, and we ran out of gas. Now, up on the Mexico side, there were people living in the caves and in the canyons up in there. There were little dwellings all up in there, so we knew what was going on in that area. There were folks there. And on the Texas side, it was kind of barren in that area. And the owner of the boat said to me, look under your seat, there's a spare tank of gas. And it was relief to me that there was a spare tank. So I looked down, and I opened the seat up and looked in the hole and pulled it out, and it was a gallon. So a gallon was going to have to be enough to get us back where we needed to get. So we put it in the tank, and we cranked the boat up. But the entire time, I was very worried about where we were positioned in the river. Were we on the wrong side? Were we on the right side? And we had drifted because of the wind. We had drifted well into Mexico territory. And it was a scary thing for me. I didn't know what the law was. I didn't know what the rules were. I thought, here I am, no passport. I don't know what I'm doing here, and I'm going to get arrested. That's the feeling that I'm having. It's irrational fear. Irrational fear of being somewhere I'm not supposed to be. But what the writer of Hebrews is saying to the people, he says that very clearly in the first verse after he's laid out, by the way, this is the theme for the whole book of Hebrews, is Jesus is greater than. So Jesus is greater than. You can write that down on the top of every chapter, and it says Jesus is greater than whatever the topic is that the writer's talking about. He's been talking about the messengers, the angels. And he says Jesus is greater than the angels. So don't lift them up above him. Don't worship these angels. Don't be pulled away from the truth that the angels actually delivered to you. So stay with the truth. Verse 1. Therefore, we must pay close attention to what we have heard. Got to pay close attention. We got to focus. We got to stay on task and not drift away. Pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Now, this word drift in this verse in the original language would be a very clear picture of a boat that was coming into harbor, but because attention was not paid to the process, that boat had drifted past the harbor into dangerous rocks. So this scripture is saying to the people, to those Jews that were being tempted to stray away, to turn away from Jesus, to go back to the past, to be what they were before, to abandon Christ, he's saying to them, you're drifting into the rocks. Stay away from the rocks. Stay focused on what you're doing. Keep your task. And later on, by the way, I'm going to give us a list of five. I want to hold on just a little bit before I get to that list of five. And there'll be five ways that the church has drifted away from Jesus being the center of the church. Now, I don't mean this church. I mean church in general. And I don't mean every church, because every church is not. But there are some that have chosen to go down paths that have pulled them away from the truth of the word and the focus, the centrality of the gospel. But also we're going to talk about what tempts us to drift away. How do we drift away? There's lots of ways that we drift away, but we'll look at those five in just a little bit. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. It's a companion scripture. Wednesday night we had a companion scripture, John 4. John 4 correlates directly with Hebrews 1, teaching us what it means to stay focused on Jesus and not be drawn away to something else. But today we have Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 27. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. So he's giving a clear instruction that God's word is help for your life. Keeps you healthy. Keeps you from going too far off course, from getting away from where you need to be. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips, and let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path of your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. I had a hard time reading that for one reason, because I didn't put my glasses on. If I had my glasses on, I could have seen that little better focus. But, you know, the words kind of jump around a little bit, and they're kind of blurry nowadays. So it's more important for me to stay focused, to keep focused, to look intently on the word and know exactly what God is saying to me, and not be distracted by some emotional filter that might be trying to filter the word and make it less the truth than it is the truth. Do you ever worry about that, by the way? I worry about preachers. I do. Worry about me. Worry about teachers, that they're filtering God's word through a worldly mind that is sometimes focused on Him and sometimes not focused on Him. And when they deliver the word, are they delivering the unadulterated truth that God intended for the people to hear? Y'all ever worry about that? I worry about it. I want you to worry about that for me. I want you to be concerned about that. Pray for me that I'm not distracted some way or prejudiced by something or mad at somebody. By the way, there's nothing worse than messing up a sermon than being mad at somebody. Somebody did something in the church and you're wanting to subtly punish them for it through your preaching. That's off path. That's off path. Because the path is of a person that delivers the word is deliver the word, the truth. So the writer of Proverbs is saying, keep your eyes focused, guard your heart. Don't get caught up in these perverse mentalities that can corrupt your relationship with God. I had this experience on the way here. Stopped off at a fast food place to step in, get something, and come out. And while I was there were some people joking around and laughing and really laughing, really loud, saying a lot of things. And the man that left said, I know y'all ain't going to church, but I'm going to church. So he headed out. And I thought, well, that's really nice. Kind of mean, but kind of nice. As he is going to church, I walk out the door, and he's on the phone in the parking lot, and he's using some words that he's not going to be using when he gets in the church building. And he's telling some story with perverse and corrupt language. He's off path. He tried to stay focused for a few minutes, but he got off path. Don't let that happen to us. Just don't let ourselves be pulled away. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Paul is saying that these temptations that we struggle with is common. It was common 2,000 years ago. It's common 50 years ago. It is common today. Humanity is easily distracted. Easily. Doesn't take much. There's nothing worse than walking my dog when a squirrel runs across the road. That dog gets distracted. He's trained to not be distracted. Sort of. And boy, I'm water skiing behind a dog, holding on to that leash. And he is after it. He's after that squirrel. He's distracted easily. It's common for us to be distracted and be pulled away and to drift. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. So this word from God that they proclaimed about the Messiah coming, that was proclaimed through these angels, it is true, it's proved to be right. And then he says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? He's giving a warning. This is a firm warning. This might be one of those moments that helps us lean toward Pauline authorship of this text, is that Paul likes to tell people when they're doing wrong. He likes to get them straight. And he says to them, are you going to run from salvation? Are you going to turn away from all that's been given to you, all that God has blessed you with, this profound grace and forgiveness of sins that you have received, this new life, this joy, this hope, all that you have in Jesus? Are you going to turn away from it? Are you going to move away and neglect your salvation? You know, it's when I think about being distracted, I get warnings, by the way, And if you have a certain kind of truck, you get or car, you get the same warnings. Is when I would drive down Highway 6 from Natchitoches here and go on one particular curb, there were holes in the road, potholes in the road. I'd hit those potholes, no matter how hard I tried, I'd hit them, and I would bounce to the right. This, 5,000-pound pickup, bounce to the right. And then it would bounce back to the left. And it would cross the middle line a little bit, and then it would cross the outside line a little bit, and a light would flash on my dash, and it would say, driver alert warning. And it's a little cup of coffee, and it tells you to pull over and get some coffee because you're swaying and going all over the road. And I wanted to say to the computer, you have no idea what highway I'm on. This is Louisiana. You should be able to disable that alert on that particular vehicle. But it warns me. What it is saying to me is, keep it between the lines. Keep it between the lines. I've been thinking about this all week. Instead of saying see you later to people when I say goodbye to them, I think maybe I'm going to say keep it between the lines. Not just about keeping your life together, but keeping your spiritual life, your following of Jesus, keeping it between the lines. I would like for us someday to get to the point that we keep each other accountable that way. In a loving way, say, keep it between the lines. Keep it between the lines. God's word is a serious word. This teaching about the Messiah, about this salvation through Jesus, you see it in Hebrews 2, keep focus on it as a serious matter. It's not trite. Acts 7:53 says, you who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. Stay focused. Keep between the lines. Stay serious. Galatians 3:19. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions, or it was added because of sins, until the seed to whom the promise referred had come, and that would be Jesus. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. That's Galatians 3:19. This word is serious from God. Stay focused. Don't get pulled away. Keep it between the lines. One writer says this. He says, grace doesn't cancel accountability. It heightens it. So because we have such a great gift in Jesus, we have great grace. We have great grace. But we also have great responsibility to stay focused on that person of Jesus. This salvation should not be neglected. Man, I've got so many references for this, I'm going to cut it down to one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's serious. A big price was paid for your salvation. You know, neglect happens all the time. You may neglect things around your home. You may forget that your gutters, when they get filled up with pine needles, and you leave them for 3 or 4 years, causes the wood to rot. Did y'all know that? I found that out one time. If you forget to get it all cleaned out. I had someone call me this week about one of my buildings. They had let the termite contract lapse. You know when termites find a building? As soon as you let the contract lapse. So they had termites. Don't neglect the gospel. 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. He's saying to these converted Hebrews, it's a big deal. God spoke it. We saw him. We saw the Messiah. We walked with him. We saw him raised from the dead. We saw him ascend into heaven. It's a real thing. This is just not some fanciful story. Now I'm going to give you some church drift. Here's some church drift. What I mean by that is that you may have seen it. You may have been a part of it. You may be seeing it happen right now. There are churches that get their focus off of the main thing, which is the gospel of Jesus. And they get off on something else. And sometimes it might be a good thing that should be paid attention to, but it cannot become the main thing that the church exists for. Now, when I go through these and talk about these, you're gonna see some of that. Here's an example of church drift is when the gospel is replaced with moralism or activism. So we decide we want to get active about some political thing that's going on in culture today because we want to be compassionate, and because we're compassionate, we're showing some love towards some people, and that showing love towards some people becomes important to us, becomes a main tenet of the church, and that the church is really reaching out and making a big effort to reach those folks. And then all of a sudden things flip upside down, and it's more important to affirm the people you're trying to reach in their sinful lifestyle than it is to focus on the gospel or the truth of Scripture. Y'all ever seen that happen? Happens all the time. Happening really big right now, all over the country. There are churches that have gotten caught up in social gospel. There are churches that get caught up in legalism. That's the other extreme. They're so caught up in making you live by the letter of the law that's been laid down that they have forgotten the grace that comes from Jesus. Y'all know a church like that? I see them all the time. I see people like that all the time. Drifting away from the main thing. Another one is prioritizing church growth over relationship with Jesus. Now, I could get up here, by the way, and do a show if you want me to. I was in high school theater, one act play. I don't even know how I memorized my lines. So we could do a show every week. We could have a spectacular presentation, and that is awesome if it's meant to honor Jesus and lift him up. If everything's done with excellence, because that excellence is an act of worship. As you present everything you do it with an effort and a care and a love, and you're doing things that, by the way, I have a big old written outline every week, and I put it on my iPad so I can blow it up a little bit so I can read it a little better, because they don't make Bibles with big enough print for me anymore. So I've got that. I have a backup in paper in case that happens. And then I've got most of it memorized because I want to be able to preach with conviction and without distraction and present the gospel with excellence. But when that becomes a priority, methodology becomes a priority over Jesus, over worship, then you're distracted. You have drifted. You've drifted. So showing off, really not as important as showing up and being in the presence of Jesus. Neglecting sound doctrine. The church deciding that they're going to write doctrine or the tenets of their faith or their governing rules, they're going to write them by something other than Scripture. That happens a lot. Somebody had a belief, a practice back in 1950, and that becomes ingrained and canonized in the church, and it now is what we do, and if you stray from it, you're not right with Jesus. I want to tell you, that's drift. That is church drift. When you pull yourself away through unsound doctrine. Here's another one. Lifting the leader of your church too high. Saying that celebrity speaker, celebrity preacher that you have that's on the radio that is articulate and smooth as butter and presents themselves well, that they're so friendly and happy and never say a bad word and all those kind of things. If you've lifted them up to a place that they're way above everyone else, exalting a leader causes a church to drift. I see this happen with worship pretty often. This band is great. This band is so great, I'm going to join this church. This band just keeps getting better. They're so good, I could not go to church anywhere else because the worship is just so good there. That's lifting a person up, a leader up, and it causes drift. Idealizing leaders causes drift. The last one is when a church compromises the biblical authority. When saying that what is taught in the Word 2,000 years ago, plus, what's taught in the Word is no longer relevant to us today. I had a situation in a church where we had a person that was in leadership in a lifestyle of gross immorality, but they were going to let that slide because it's too much trouble and didn't want to cause a problem. And we decided to confront that issue, and it became a thing. It became a thing. And I had one leader in the church post about this on social media. What are they thinking? Why are they holding someone to this standard of the Bible? It's 2020. What are we doing expecting people to live a moral life in 2020? It's not the same anymore. Now, y'all, can y'all believe that? I'm still a little mad about it. When a church compromises biblical authority, you drift. Now, stay true to the Word. True to the Word. Church, you catch us. You catch us drifting off to the wrong side of the river. You need help bring us back in. Keep Jesus the center. Center focus. Here's some five common ways for us. If you want to write them down, you can. They'll be on Facebook later on. These are five ways that we drift personally. If I quit today, we're just talking about the church in a generic form, we'd all be happy. Start talking about it personally, there's going to be somebody who uses the old phrase, you were stepping on my toes. Okay, so get ready. Get ready for this. Neglecting scripture and prayer. If you can't remember the last time that you read the Word by yourself with no one else around you and studying and maybe thinking through the Bible, you have been neglecting the Word. Praying. When you pray only when someone is in trouble or you're in trouble, and when you're not in fellowship with God, talking with Him on a continuous basis, if you're drifting, if you're not praying. Scripture and prayer. Number two is compromising with sin. Just a little bit will be okay. Now, I've been told I have a sugar addiction. Don't always believe it. But I want to tell you, it was a tough drive this morning for me because I decided not to have anything, nothing. No fruit, no donut, no biscuit, no jelly, no nothing. By the time I got here, I was hungry. I was hungry. So it was tempting for me to say, well, it's just a scone from French Market. It's okay. Pull over and get one. It's just one. It's just one. It'll be all right. You'll be okay. You know, when you take that just one, what happens? You take one more, and then you take one more, and before you know it, it becomes normalized, and that sin that you're tempted with becomes the normal activity of your life. I don't know if you've ever been driving late at night and woke up in the wrong lane. It happens. I hear about it. I see about it. I even had it almost happen to me once. Went for those little bumps, it would have. Well, you're driving along and you kind of drift a little bit, and then you drift a little more, and you drift a little more, and all of a sudden you're on the wrong side of the road. And that is what happens when you compromise in your life with sin. And accept just a little bit. When you accept just a little bit, tolerate just a little bit, you get in trouble. Third thing, prioritizing worldly success over spiritual growth. I got to work hard right now. I'm working hard right now so I can pay off the house so that later on I can serve the Lord gladly. Or I got to have this truck. This truck costs twice the amount as my first house. Because if I get this truck, I'll be successful. But by the way, I hear this said in churches a lot. The problem with the finances in church is that people are driving their tithe. They got an $800 car payment. $1,000 car payment. It's drifting. It's drifting. Number four is isolating yourself from the Christian community. That's not going to church. You're probably going to hear that over and over and over when I preach, because it's in the Word over and over and over. When you preach to the Word, that's what comes out. When you isolate yourself from the body, you neglect meeting together, you're violating Scripture and you're hurting yourself. The last thing is losing sight of the gospel. Losing sight where you don't care about the gospel personally either. Church doesn't care a lot about it. You don't care a lot about it either. When you see someone, you're not thinking they might be lost. They might be lost. They might not know Jesus. I might need to tell that to them. I might need to share Jesus with them. When you lose sight of Jesus, your focus fades. Revelations 2, verse 4 and 5. You've abandoned the love you had at first. Repeat and repent. That's what Scripture is teaching us, is that we can get to the point that we abandon Jesus and move away. So I want to say something to you today. If you found yourself in the wrong lane as we've gone through these scriptures and you're drifted away from the focus on Christ and you're not praying, you're not reading the Word, you're not fellowshipping with the believers, there's all kinds of things going on that's pulled you away, I want to say just this short phrase to you: keep it between the lines. Bring it back in. Because when you do, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. Because you'll be blessed in that relationship with Jesus. You'll be blessed in that hope for eternity that comes in salvation. And you won't be doubting all the time. Might even be healthier. If you're caught up in anxiety over things of the world and that's caused you to be unhealthy, let it go. Come back and be a little healthier. So I'm praying for you today that you keep it between the lines. Let's pray. Father, awaken our hearts to the greatness of your salvation. How great it is to have a relationship with Jesus. And we take it for granted sometimes. And some of us have been saved decades. And because of those decades, it's been easy for us to get a little bit softened in our conviction about this great grace that has been given to us. And Father, we pray that this great salvation with Jesus would be fresh and new and would just overflow out of our hearts and out of our minds and our mouths and our actions and our words that we write and the things that we think about and the entertainment that we receive. And Father, that we will be awakened to the greatness of your salvation. Father, help us not to drift. Help us not to drift off away into the wrong lane. But we cling to your word with reverence and respect and holiness and love and joy. May we never neglect what you've given us so graciously, Father. May we not get too busy. May things like kids' sports and jobs and mowing the lawn and any other excuse we can find not get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. And I pray all this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.